Media shouldn't be one note. Support Rabble.ca and a diversity of voices in Canadian media. Visit rabble.ca/donate to contribute.
This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's radio, free radio.
Hi, and welcome to Gooder Goods, a podcast about conscious consumption. I'm Kelly Okamura, and I'd like to share with you my long journey from front row fashionista to shopping in my closet as a trendsetter. We're all consumers who wear clothes. And as a professional in the purchasing system, my spending spree has taught me a lot about why clothes matter and why all of us need to think twice before we mindlessly make our next purchase. And hopefully before we wreck our planet for the sake of a bargain that we thought was too good of an opportunity to miss out on.
So, are you naked? Listening to this podcast, number 16, Waste Wanted, in the tub or in transit? I'm assuming even if you are naked now, you buy stuff including clothes. So I'm talking to you. And why your textile waste is wanted. The Tip of the Iceberg Textile Waste Symposium took place earlier this May, and I wanted to share some insights on what happens when we no longer want to keep our clothes. I visited a modern textile processing facility, and it was an eye-opening experience. But first, let's go back. About a decade ago, I told some of my clients to stop making crap if we live on a finite planet. And that naive statement led me on a provocative trail towards a better future for all of us. And it's not been a lonely journey once I realized that there were so many others moving in the same direction as me. Our quest was to complete all the tasks to defeat a theoretically wicked problem. Change a line into a circle with enough critical mass that sustains the new reality into a transformed system. I can imagine my mom now asking my nuclear physicist cousin, "What is Kelly talking about?" So taking wise words from David Suzuki, if your parents won't understand, start again so you're understood. Okay, Mom, this one's for you. You taught me not to be wasteful, but I grew up pretty spoiled in a loving clan that gave me self-confidence and a general sense of privilege. I felt righteous enough to want more stuff than I needed, so eventually you made me and my brother work in the beet fields to realize that buying stuff costs money that had to be paid for by someone's earned wages. At that time, you must have really cursed creating that lesson plan, as Jim and I didn't know a beet from a weed. But honestly, you made your point on that hot summer day. And I also took another lesson from that hot summer day, that I had to work really hard for what I wanted, and my teenage fashionista self desired all that trendy latest threads. But once I had the stuff, I didn't particularly care about the products after they were paid for. So when they became so last year, or I grew out of them, or I simply needed more space, I thoughtfully gave them away to someone who could appreciate my next-to-new hand-me-downs. And that attitude continued as recently as the day before the Textile Waste Symposium this month. I had packed up 2 boxes of clean wearable clothes and books for a charity pickup. So if you're listening to this podcast draped in a towel, did you know that once your towel loses its appeal when you paint the bathroom, it doesn't have to go into landfill but can be collected? Or even that one holy sock doesn't have to go into the garbage? Did you know that only 15% of textile waste is diverted from landfill? Which translates into 37.2 kilos per person in Ontario, or 500,000 tons a year that accumulates in Ontario alone. When we think about the issue globally, it's a social issue and an environmental problem when you look at the apparel system that goes from fiber to landfill, with the consumer responsibility kicking in after you make the purchase. Now that I know, I can't continue to believe I've done my duty as a global citizen once I've neatly packed up a box of donated clothes but threw away a bunch of one-sided socks into the garbage. So, let's talk to a textile waste specialist. I've mentioned Sabine Weber in previous podcasts. She's an apparel professional who moved to Waterloo with her family from Austria, where she worked in product development for major European retailers. And I met her when she was completing her master's in textile waste in 2015. Subsequently, she co-founded the textile waste symposium TOTI, or Tip of the Iceberg, which took place May 4th in Markham, Ontario. And to quote one participant, it was a wonderful event that provided useful measurements of what the situation is with the modern problem of textiles going into waste in landfills.
We can get more textiles out of the landfill when we make the decision we want to collect them. And I had the feeling that on this conference, there were a lot of people who made this decision, we will collect more in the future and we want to change our communication and we want to make new strategies, a new program to collect those textiles.
Sabine, so does that mean if we're diverting only 15% away from landfill, we can increase that amount?
Yes, I'm optimistic about this. What we can see is the, you know, growth of population, we can see that there is a future, a much higher demand for fibers. And our earth is somehow finite. We have only so much space. We can grow cotton or we can grow food. If we have to make the decision if we want to feed the people or if we want to have more clothes in our cupboard, I think we should go in having, you know, producing more food on our land and not just fibers. So in a way, it is double wasteful that we put all those resources into our landfill instead of making something new out of them, which we kind of are desperate looking for because we have an increased demand. So I think from an ethical point of view, it's absolutely necessary that we really reuse those materials from our landfill and then divert them. And technically, if we, for example, use polyester and we recycle polyester, we can achieve a fiber which has the same quality level as virgin polyester. But this material needs so much less energy. According to a company in Montreal, Victor Innovatives, recycled polyester fiber requires 30% less energy than virgin polyester.
Wow.
With the same quality level. And so there is nothing against this. It's a bit more complicated when we talk about recycling from natural fibers, but it's a question of time until companies, I would say, like Lansing, will be able to make this happen on a bigger scale.
I'm going to go back to the two fibers that if you had to guess what somebody was wearing, it'd be either cotton or polyester.
Yeah. Well, this is what I usually tell my students if they have no idea about fibers. The funny thing is we know more than 40 different fibers in the textile industry. Usually, I said we have 40 different fibers, but in the end, we have no fiber diversity anymore because we use mainly cotton or polyester, and this is more or less to equal account. 50% of the world fiber demand is cotton, and about the other 50% is polyester. So what I tell my students, if you have no idea about any fibers which we have on Earth, so you rather make a guess between cotton or polyester, and there's a great chance that you are right. And this is important because if we look now at the material which we've kind of, you know, put into our landfill, then you will see that about 50% has an biodegradable effect, which, you know, releases ethan and a toxic acid leachate, while all the other material, which is polyester, which is a synthetic fiber, will not biodegrade. It will decay time similar to plastics, which means it will stay in our landfills forever.
So I think from a fashion perspective, I find myself interested that polyester will be our new future fashion fiber, that we've all got the tip up that that's what we're going to honor going forward in the future, as opposed to organic new cotton.
I don't want to say cotton is better than polyester, and I don't want to say polyester is better than cotton. It actually really depends on what we are doing with the material. So let's say we are making a shopping bag. And I know for many people who want to, you know, who go shopping, they think if they take their cotton bag, this is a great sign of showing others, you know, we are green and we are environmentalists. But to be really honest, having a shopping bag made of cotton is not really a fantastic choice, because cotton is, as a material, less strong than polyester or nylon. So if we make this bag out of polyester or nylon, it will be so much stronger than the cotton bag, which makes totally sense.
How on this particular focus, when we're looking at textile waste, what is it that consumers can do to increase their part after they've purchased and now they're responsible for that textile to the end of its useful life?
Well, it's very simple. As a consumer who has garments which you don't want anymore, you should pick one charity of your choice, or a private collector of your choice. And the point is really give them everything. Give them your good clothes, which have maybe only little spots, or maybe a t-shirt which you haven't worn. Give it to them. But give them also your underpants and your bra and your holy socks and your bedsheets and your towels. Just everything that you have. And they will manage it. They will sort it. And they will have a good profit on the nice clothes which you give them. And they have a lower profit on the holy, you know, socks. So, of course. But because you give them everything, there will be a nice balance. And every responsible charity will take them. This is not a question.
Well, when we went to the textile processing plant, I think what was interesting to me was the criteria for accepting clothes was that they were clean, that they didn't smell, and they were dry. Is that correct?
This is the most important thing, that they are dry and that they're not stinky, because this could affect all the other material, and specifically if they are wet or they are humid, then they could cause any kind of stock and mold. And nobody really, you know, this would not be healthy. This would be the requirement.
I always thought that you had to simply donate clothes that were clean, usable, and that they weren't garbage, that if someone can't wear it, then they don't need my garbage. What I'm hearing is something quite different in terms of a one-sided sock. And certainly at the textile processing plant, they were quite happy to have one-sided shoes.
So this is the big point. There is a gap in communication. And there is a gap where, so far, most of the majority have said, we want gently used clothes in good condition and maybe in season and dry and clean and so on. And then they're perfect for reuse. So many of the charities have not really considered the whole recycling process. And this is why it's so important that now we open this discussion and that we make clear this is not only, donation doesn't only mean reuse, it also means recycling. And this is what Markham, for example, does. It has recognized that there is a gap between the communication of the charities and all the material which is left over. And with their partner, they have now changed the communication and they have decided every garment is welcome as long as it is dry and doesn't really stick. That is the requirement. And because of this, every single hole, every single t-shirt, every shoe, every towel, everything is welcome. And this opens the door to build up a recycling industry in Ontario.
When you were talking about the textiles that are going into landfill, that not only are they like akin to plastics that are going down, but they're putting toxins into the landfill, which are going into our water systems.
Yes.
So that if that is consumer responsibility in terms of the excess that is going into landfill, how does that relate to where a lot of the greatest environmental costs are coming from the production of textiles themselves?
Well, the biggest, if we look at environmental-wise and if we look at textiles, the biggest environmental impact of textile industry is actually in the consumer phase when consumers are washing and drying their clothes. This impact has the highest impact, higher than the production of the garment, higher than the production of the material, and even higher than the impact of the material in our landfill.
Wow.
Because it's very labor intensive. It's even higher than the whole transportation from a garment around the whole world. The highest impact is the use and the wash freight. That's for sure. And if we wash those garments, then we can also say that a lot of the chemicals which are in our clothes will be washed out with the sewage water. Well, the good thing is our sewage water here is treated, but a lot of the material, a lot of those chemicals end up already in our normal laundry water. Leftover material, will they stay in the garment, and this will go into the landfill. Now, if it is rain, if it get wet, then those chemicals get again washed out, and those can react to toxic acid leachate. Well, everybody who is running a landfill would say, okay, we have a liner in our landfill, and this liner should help us to get those toxic leachates not in our groundwater. And they collect specifically acid leachate in order not to get it in the landfill. So, you know, we are doing already a lot of things in order to make this environmental impact a bit lower. We're not just waiting and doing, we're not doing nothing. We're doing something already. Everybody who is managing a landfill, you know, knows about this problem. And, you know, a good landfill nowadays is catching the gases and want to make sure that this is not released into the atmosphere. But this is also why landfills are actually causing costs, and those costs have increased over the years because we need more and more technology to catch up and, you know, get this material out.
Okay, so do you have any final thoughts in terms of how consumers can increase their textile waste from landfills?
Well, very simple. If you have textile waste, donate your material. But of course, it's also a question of not only producing so much waste. If we have, you know, when we were 100 years ago, people had maybe a few outfits which they were wearing. Nowadays, we have tons of clothes in our closet. We have even clothes which we haven't even worn, which have price tags, and then we realize then, oh, maybe it wasn't the right color, it wasn't the right size, maybe it's not really comfortable, maybe it's not the right fit with all my other clothes. And because of this, we have this huge amount of waste. For me, in the meantime, what I did myself as my own, you know, how can I be better? Before I buy something new, I really think about it. Is this something I really want? And I try to avoid spontaneous shopping tours where I spend endless money on things which I maybe don't need. Because, you know, in the end, we can talk a lot about the waste, but it's better if we don't even buy products which we don't really need or want. So, in the end, everything starts with our own consumption. And I hope that we can learn from our huge amounts of waste. You know, the waste makes us thinking. A lot of people, when they want to, they clean their closet and they have all these huge piles of clothes. Then they actually feel all kinds of emotions, and they feel sometimes guilt. They feel very uncomfortable. They realize how much money they have spent for material which they don't like and which they don't make them as happy as they thought it would make them happy. And I hope that by, you know, seeing this waste which we produce, we might also be able to make one step further and change our consumption and really buy less, buy only the things which we really want, we really love. And this would also help immense, you know, to have less textiles in our landfill at all.
I think that you stunned me in terms of just, you know, it's one thing to think about consumption waste, but it's another thing to think about the waste and what happens to it when it's sitting there and creating an environmental issue that none of us really think about after we think that we've been good citizens and donated our nice clothes to charity. So I appreciate giving us some new concept in terms of what happens and what is our responsibility as consumers in terms of our purchasing habits? So thank you. Listen for more dialogue with textile waste expert Sabine Weber and others on a future vision that moves all of us towards progress on the wicked problem of modern consumption and the mess we've created that is evident in 85% of textiles in landfill. Stay tuned and be gooder. Follow me on Twitter at GooderGoods. The links I referenced can be found on Facebook. Search GooderGoods. And the podcast is uploaded on soundcloud.com/GooderGoods. Choose to be gooder.